Operation Mockingbird gets exposed about CIA in the media. That's when Operation Chaos gets exposed about the CIA infiltrating student groups on college campuses. That's when MKUltra gets exposed with CIA and messing around with mind control and behavioral influence. That's when really everybody in society begins looking at their own institutional ties to this.
But one of the things you keep pointing out is like everything comes back to Iran-Contra. Everything comes back to Iran-Contra. So we throw around this term around. We throw it around online all the time, Iran-Contra. A lot of people out there obviously know the basics of what it is. But what I would love to start off with today is a full history of, like, here's the documentary, here's what happened with Iran-Contra, and then we'll paint back everything that you're painting back to it.
Yeah. The reason I always come back to Iran-Contra, even for things that happened before, you know, like Tulsi just dropped this 230,000 documents around the Martin Luther King assassination. Yeah. Which was in 1968. Iran-Contra wasn't until 1981 to 1988. But it's the reason I always come back to Iran-Contra and why I think that everybody should really do a study of it is because it's the way to understand how intelligence work got structured after the first set of real reforms to the CIA. And we've been living in the shadow of the structure of Iran-Contra ever since. So you had the CIA get born in 1947 under the National Security Act. And from 1947 until 1975, it had a free ride. It could do pretty much anything. There was no real oversight. There was no Senate Select Committee. There was no Senate Intelligence Committee. There was no House Intelligence Committee. You didn't need to get written sign-off to do a covert action through a presidential finding. It could get away with literal murder. I mean, it could literally go and assassinate people with a heart attack gun if you go back and go to YouTube and put on the Frank Church holding up the heart attack gun with James Jesus Angleton and Colby, the CIA director. I mean, they could literally get away with murder, and they were also very sloppy during this period. From the 1940s to the 1970s, the traditional way that the CIA would move would be through the creation of what they called CIA proprietaries, which was when the CIA both funded an organization and then directed or controlled it. And what happened in the mid-1970s, in the run-up to the Jimmy Carter administration, things came to a head because the CIA had been messing around so much with the anti-war side of the Democrat Party, which was becoming more and more ascendant during the Vietnam War, which was, you know, basically 55 to 75. As that war is getting more and more scandalized and there's more and more heat on the CIA, things come to a head with these Church and Pike committees in Congress, which turn up all the dirt on the CIA. That's when Operation Mockingbird gets exposed about CIA in the media. That's when Operation Chaos gets exposed about the CIA infiltrating student groups on college campuses. That's when MKUltra gets exposed with CIA and messing around with mind control and behavioral influence. That's when really everybody in society begins looking at their own institutional ties to this cloak and dagger spy agency, the universities, the unions, all the way down to the teachers' unions. The CIA was paying the National Education Association $1 million to tilt their policy and whatnot. These institutions are still around today. But what happened beginning in 75, 76, and then when Carter gets elected in 76, is there are handcuffs put on direct CIA activity. And so everything would require a presidential finding for every covert action. So the president had to approve of it. And that also meant that the president was therefore responsible. The whole plausible deniability cloak that the CIA had since 1948 began to get very messy when you had to have written sign-off for all of the activity. And the fact that there was now so much oversight of it made it hard to be plausible, to keep plausible deniability. And so the CIA had to change the way it moved in order to maintain plausible deniability. And it moved into the NGO layer and into the outside financier layer from the 70s into the early 80s when Jimmy Carter became president.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. You have 7 days from this date to buy one bottle of any of our amazing supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the list goes on and on, Ultimate Life Force, and get a bottle absolutely free. But you got to be a VIP. But that's the best part. This catch is a great deal. You spend $30 a month being a subscriber, canceling time, and you get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers just sent to you, and you can cancel any time. So you make $10 by becoming a subscriber. You can cancel any time. This is only running for 7 days. Experience Ultramethylene Blue. Experience the other incredible supplements. But also, the buy one, get one free goes for the ball caps, the t-shirts, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Those of you who've ever gotten products, now's the time. It'll blow you away. Get the Methylene Blue bare minimum at thealexofstore.com.
Breaking through the lies of the New World Order, it's Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am Chase Geyser, your host. Former FBI Director Chris Wray criminally referred to DOJ over claims he lied to Congress. We'll see if anything comes of that. Why isn't it that Fauci hasn't been criminally referred either? It's pretty obvious that he lied to Rand Paul all those years ago about gain-of-function technology. It's just bizarre to me how selective our justice system is about who it prosecutes, who it persecutes, who it comes after, who it spies on, who it follows around, who it harasses. I've experienced this personally. I've experienced this professionally in my work. You've all experienced it as Americans, whether you even know it or not, how selective our Department of Justice is in terms of what it actually does or goes after. And look, Pam Bondi's done an outstanding job on Fox News, running cover for the fact that all she does is go on Fox News. And I'm not trying to be unfairly critical of who's probably a sweet person. But we don't need sweetness in the information war. We need justice. We need these institutions totally eradicated and replaced, from the FBI to the CIA to the IRS to the Department of Justice, frankly. It seems like it's so nice to see that there's been criminal referrals of these so-called Obama admin officials or other politicians, but I see crime after crime every single day from all of our leaders, treason after treason every single day from all of our leaders, from Adam Schiff to Nancy Pelosi to Chuck Schumer to Mitch McConnell to Lindsey Graham to Dan Crenshaw, who's among my least favorite people ever to draw breath on the face of the planet. No justice whatsoever, but they've been sent over for criminal referral. Hey, we think that you should press charges. Okay, well, how are you going to get them to? How are you going to apply pressure to the Pambanis or the others to actually press charges on these people? I mean, they only caught 204 child predators that 1 week that they bragged about it on the lawn, Cash Patel and Pambani. This week, we have arrested 204 child predators. That's great. There's like 9 million of them in the United States of America. You know that? Since Trump's been in office, we found 10,000 of the 323,000 children that went missing. I'm glad that you found 10,000 of them, but there's over 300,000 of them remaining. Many of them practically adults by now, if not literally adults by now. Fact of the matter is we're in the middle of a spiritual war where it's good versus evil. Everybody's pointing the finger at somebody else for all the yells that are happening and just trying to pass the stick of dynamite before the fuse is exhausted. Before there's this massive political explosion. I mean, the same thing that we see with the Federal Reserve, fractional reserve banking system, central banking system, where there's just kicking the can, trying not to be the one holding the bomb when it goes off and the entire economic system of the world over collapses in on itself. We see the same thing with this corruption, where everyone just passes the problem. Oh, I'm going to refer it to the DOJ, and the DOJ is going to refer it to the FBI, and the FBI is going to refer it to the CIA, and the CIA is going to refer it to ICE, and ICE is going to refer it to the IRS. And they just kick this stuff around and never take any responsibility whatsoever. And I'm wondering, as an American, why is it that heads are not rolling? Why is it that there is no justice? And you wonder why people are becoming Nazis. They like to use that term. They like to claim that you're a Nazi for anything, even though all of their policies are literally Nazi. Fascism is the definition of private business being controlled by the government or coerced by the government. And that's exactly what our government does with its budget and its politicians and its administrations going into publicly traded companies, threatening them, threatening to break them up if it's Elizabeth Warren or anybody else, unless they comply. And these companies give over data. They push for things. They censor people. They have people arrested. They even get involved. I mean, remember, Twitter was explicitly involved in the so-called Arab Spring. The CIA ran an operation to try to overthrow several governments simultaneously in the Middle East, and Twitter was some heroic bastion of democracy because it participated in aiding people on the ground and overthrowing their own governments. But as soon as Donald Trump tweets something on January 6th, I guess that's advocating for insurrection. But it was okay in Egypt 12 years ago. 14 years ago, it was okay during this massive uprising in the entire Middle East, a region so unstable and simultaneously so critical to national security in the United States of America, you would think it would be reckless to stoke as much disruption and destruction and instability as possible. But that was backed by our own Mockingbird establishment system, right? So it's okay. Meanwhile, we've got example after example after example of all of the crimes, very obvious crimes that our leadership has committed, that our institutions have committed, and we have virtually no calls formally by any members of the establishment whatsoever to bring down any element of the establishment. You got your Thomas Massie coming out and criticizing AIPAC and saying that we should end the Fed, or you got your Rand Paul saying we should end the Fed. I like that. I love that. I love those guys. I'm sure they're great. But where's that good old American spirit? What happened to our culture and our spirit where we would get outraged over a tea tax such that we would commit a crime against the most powerful empire ever, throwing the tea overboard in the Boston Tea Party, but then we'll allow ourselves to be taxed into oblivion with sales tax, property tax, income tax, and not only to be taxed into oblivion, but then taxed again with inflation when we're literally robbed of our buying power, and not only to be robbed, but then for that money to be used against us and to fund the most evil regimes in the world. And then not only that, but then to add insult to injury, they call you a Nazi when you're critical of literal neo-Nazis in Ukraine, taking all of our money, all of our funding, as they advocate for democracy and declare an indefinite halt to all elections, as they conglomerate all press in their nations into state-controlled and run press outlets, as they ban the use of the Russian language, as they ban certain religions associated with Russia. But you're the Nazi. But they do all the Nazi things. Frankly, who cares if they call Sydney Sweeney a Nazi? Who cares? She's probably not one, but even if she is, who cares? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney is very upset with some of our trade agreements with the international community and feels like her country's being taken advantage of and doesn't want to stand for? Who cares? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney understands that she's beautiful, in fact, more beautiful than most people because she has great genes? And she advocates for as many people as possible to be like her. Who cares if that's how she feels? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney doesn't want to sell out all the interests of the American people to an international cabal? Or if Sydney Sweeney just absolutely hates all Zionists and Zionism, who cares what Sydney Sweeney thinks? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney thinks that we should ban usury in the United States of America so we don't have a civilization further and further indebted every single year? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney advocates for an entire group of people who don't belong in the United States to be sent back home or somewhere else where they belong? I mean, does it really bother anyone in America if Sydney Sweeney has some kind of an idea of what a final solution to all of our problems would be? Does that really bother you? Who cares what Sydney Sweeney thinks? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney believes that all of our leaders should be well-dressed? Maybe even get some kind of a contract with Hugo Boss, and maybe she wants to put the chrome on the Benz. Who cares if Sydney Sweeney prefers to drive in a Mercedes? Or if she wants to drive in a Volkswagen, who cares? if Sydney Sweeney's a Nazi? Who cares if she refuses to speak into a microphone made by an American company? Maybe she prefers Sennheiser. Maybe she really likes Led Zeppelin records, and she understands the inherent superiority of German engineering. Who cares if Sydney Sweeney loves Sennheiser microphones? Who cares if she loves putting her head out the window to get a free blowout on the Autobahn as she drives with the chrome on the bends, met with a crowd just proudly waving to her? Who cares if Sydney Sweeney is a Nazi? Because after all, if, as the headlines say, America's turning back in a brazen way to whiteness and we're all Nazis now, well, isn't that the democracy that you've been advocating for? Because the last I checked, I believe the population in the United States of America is like 60 or 63% white, even though it's only 7% of the world that is so. So at the same time, we're a minority. And on the other hand, in a democratic system, then we should, the whites should get the vote, right? If you love democracy so much and everybody's a Nazi now and you're scared about that, then maybe you should second guess democracy. In fact, maybe it is true that democracy has been and will always be the leading cause of tyranny. Ultimately, these problems aren't going away until we solve the spiritual war that Tucker Carlson is talking about in this clip. Please go ahead and run it.
The main thing they want you to believe is the supernatural is not real. Their main interest is in convincing you that the supernatural is not real. Why has that been so important for 80 years? For you to convince me the supernatural is not real. Why do you care if I think the supernatural is real? But then you have to ask motive. Like, it's not a profit motive. Like, does it make them rich to deny that there's supernatural forces? No. What is that? And I don't know the answer. But the obvious answer is, well, because they sort of know they're working for supernatural forces, actually. But that they take physical form, that they're not just like some ethereal, they're not just shadows floating around, specters, fog, that they're physical. Like, they're as real as the arm of your chair. People are subject to the supernatural. So they do things that are not natural, like kill themselves. That's why we're the only species that kills itself. Right? So when you kill yourself, whether slowly or all at once, you're being acted on by forces outside of you, spiritual forces, obviously. I'm just trying to apply logic here.
We're in a spiritual war. A spiritual war that's running a major psychological operation on all the people. Like I said, it's not just a war on for your mind. It's a war on for your heart and your soul. And we see it when all of those who hate all that is good insist that you're a Nazi. But let's listen to this clip from Nick Fuentes, the alleged most famous neo-Nazi in the United States of America. Let's watch what he has to say, because I'm not a Nazi, but I'm on the same page with him here.
That's a control tactic. Like, if you want the truth, you should just let everybody have it out. Like Alex Jones. Alex Jones is friends with Tucker, and he has me on his show and challenges me. I've known Alex Jones for like, and I'm going to give him a shout out here because he deserves it. I've known Alex Jones for 6 years now. And he had the same view of me that Tucker did, I think. He was very skeptical of me, thought I was like working with the left to sabotage the right, thought that we set him up with Ye. And, you know, even though we disagree on things, he didn't just talk trash about me behind my back and gossip about me like a little bitch and be snarky. He had me on his show frequently and challenged me to my face. He said, come on the show. Let's do it. Come to the studio. Do it to my fate. Well, okay, pause. Let's do it in person. Mano a mano. And our relationship has been dynamic because of that. Sometimes we've been at odds. Sometimes we've been very friendly. And, you know, Alex Jones is somebody who wants the truth. He obviously cares about the country deeply. This is not just a random glaze. But that's just like a good comparison of what I expect. If people are skeptical of me, that's fine. I expect that about all of it. But my expectation is that if you care about the truth, you will talk about me and my ideas. Don't do a little drive-by and say, oh, he's a gay-fed loser who lives in his basement. Engage with my ideas. If you care about the truth, I have a huge following. The young people love me. I have survived and persevered in spite of a lot of nonsense. And, you know, that's just a contrast where Alex Jones was never in the fan club, you know, and he had the same skepticism that Tucker did. But we talked it out. He had the confidence in his convictions and the clarity in his intentions to say, come on the show. I want to know. I want to ask you myself and get to the bottom of it. And he wasn't even convinced initially, but we had this conversation over the years and he listened. And eventually he listened to what I was saying and we debated the ideas. And eventually he was like, you know, you're not a bad guy. And that's my expectation. And I would do the same for anybody else that I disagree with or whoever. But, you know, I give them a fair hearing of their ideas at the minimum. Even if I don't bring them on the show, I'm going to give them a fair hearing on their ideas. I'm not going to character assassinate and, oh, he's a loser, fed, faker, doesn't believe what he's saying, hateful, racist. Like, it's literally everything in the kitchen sink. It's just, and that's how you know someone's lying. When someone pretends to be a journalist, and like you said, the false deference, the fake humility, but is that closed-minded, is making a judgment, doesn't watch my show, never met me. Oh, but I saw one clip and it's obvious he's a fed. Okay, you're a liar. Like, you're a controlled opposition liar. So, and I just hate the, LARP, for better or for worse, whatever you want to say about me, whatever you want to say, whatever kind of thing you want to say about me, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I tell you how I feel. And that has gotten me called a lot of different things over the years. But nobody could say there's a pretense, for better or for worse. There is no pretense. You are getting the real guy here. I'm not pretending to be a nice guy. I'm not pretending to be a super humble, hey, I'm just like you. I'm a regular American. I'm not pretending to be Dr. Trad. Oh, I just want my wheat fields. I just want my wheat fields and a, you know, trad calf marriage. I'm not pretending to be, you know, a pure Aryan stock. Racial purity is our only goal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just me. And all these people, it's a fake laugh. It's a fake appeal, playing dumb, asking questions you know the answer to, calculating yourself into these positions, calculating your approach. 2017, I said, let it rip. Let it rip. Charlottesville, game on. January 6th, I'm there.
And look, the beef between Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson, it's last week's news, and this is supposed to be tomorrow's news tonight. And I disagree with some of the things that he said about Tucker, though I agree with his main point. Main point being that if you have a problem with me, then you should debate me. And it's not him just trying to get attention like you might see from others, because Nick already has a huge audience. He's not just trying to trick or manipulate Tucker Carlson into having him on his show, though it is a pain in the butt to have Nick Fuentes on your show if it's a YouTube show. I'm sure Tucker would have to get permission from YouTube to air it, and maybe even run it only on Rumble or X. There'd be special things to consider for that. He's right in that point, but Tucker Carlson's not a liar. He might be wrong, but he's not a liar. I've met him. I've got a sense of the guy. I'm pretty good at judging character and people. Maybe I'm a little naive. So I think he's wrong about that, but Nick is a good guy. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he has cooperated with intelligence at one point in time. I have no way to know. And frankly, we live in a civilization where we're all giving at least one out of every $4 that we earn to the federal government. So who isn't a Fed? You're funding the war in Ukraine. You're funding the bombing in Gaza. You're funding virtually every conflict that's taking place. And you're paying for law enforcement and the FBI and the CIA and others to put people on lists and then lock them up because they're considered political dissidents opposed to the interests of the deep state and therefore threats to national security. We're all feds in that sense. I have no evidence or reason to believe, other than anecdotal comments that I've heard from certain people, that Nick Fuentes is a Fed. And frankly, I think I owe him an apology because Nick probably doesn't know this. I've seen him several times since. But when I was on the Hodge Twins last summer, I made fun of Nick for like, I don't know, 3 minutes straight. I feel bad about it. It was tongue in cheek and just, you know, I've got three older brothers and so that's kind of what I do. But probably shouldn't have made fun of him. Probably was in bad taste. Probably wrong about him. So I apologize. But what you do with somebody like Nick is you talk to him. And we have people coming out and advocating for the censorship of his views because of who he is or what he espouses. I don't agree with everything that he says. But the only way to bring down something that's incorrect is to debate it and let it out in the open. As soon as you try to censor something, it expands. I mean, censoring something is like pouring water on dandelions. They just grow and in between everything, and then they kill the good stuff. And then that's the end of it. And the fact that we're all being called Nazis, City Sweeney, all of us, is so disgusting to me because it doesn't even have anything to do with the anti-Semitism connotations or the Holocaust connotations. Sick of talking about the Holocaust. First of all, if you believe the 6 million number, which may be true, I don't know. I know that millions or at least hundreds of thousands, millions of Jews died as a result of Hitler. Millions. I don't know if it was all in the gas chambers. I don't know if it was firing squad. I don't know if you count every single person that died in the war who happened to be Jewish. I don't know how you calculate the number, but I believe that the Holocaust happened and that it was terrible and that some people, hundreds of thousands or millions of them, died just because they were Jewish. 100%. Not a Holocaust denier, but you realize that the estimated total deaths in the Holocaust and in the camps is 11 million. Only 6 million of them were Jewish. Why doesn't anybody ever mourn for the other 5 million who died? Why has it been hijacked by one people or one culture? Same with the Nazi thing. They call you a Nazi because you're critical of Israel or Zionism or whatever the hell is going on. When everything that we espouse, either on this network or just in every American household with a semblance of patriotism, is entirely antithetical to Hitler. Oh, we love Hitler so much because we're critical of Israel? When Hitler censored everyone as we've been advocating and screaming against censorship, you realize that everybody at InfoWars would be totally dead if Hitler was in power, and we all know that. We're not Hitler fans here. You realize Hitler would have killed me for like 7 different reasons. Because of things I've said, who I am, my genetics. I'm not Jewish, but I've got a bleeding disorder. Genetic ailment. Totally eradicated I would have been by Hitler. And I know that. I don't support Hitler. He came down and seized all of the businesses. He took over the banks and then didn't allow them to loan money on interest to the people, which is probably a good thing, but allowed the banks to loan the Nazi government infinite money on interest, which is just usury only for them, that they were never going to be able to pay back. He got his entire country invaded and destroyed because of the irrational decisions that he made. He was a total lunatic in total control, total despot, total dictator. You think I advocate for that? As I sit up here and criticize King George on the one hand, that I advocate for Hitler? I mean, Nazism, National Socialism is completely antithetical to everything that the right stands for or says. The only semblance of similarity between National Socialism, the Nazi Party, and MAGA is that National Socialism espoused Germany first and MAGA espouses America first. We're not trying to ship people who are citizens out of here. We're not trying to set up camps. It's the Hillary Clintons that literally explicitly say that they should have everyone put who disagrees with them into camps run by people at TED Talks to re-educate them. They're advocating for re-education camps. We've got the updated documents from our own deep state coming out saying how the layout would be, where the ping pong table would be in the re-education camps. We've showed you all of these FEMA camp layouts. Recreational area, work area, classroom, quarters for sleep and rest and privacy. There's nothing Nazi happening in the United States right now. And the more they squeeze and try to censor this so-called anti-Semitism, the more genuinely anti-Semitic people will become. And the more genuinely anti-Semitic people become, the more support Israel gets from our government. And so I honestly think that there's a part of Mossad that wants this rhetoric to escalate as much as possible. They want to see the hate crimes, the shootings, the immolations in the United States. So Bibi Netanyahu can come over here and say, see, we have to put an end to this anti-Semitism now. They want to see the government have control over freedom of speech on campuses. This is the information war, and we have to win it. Because if we don't win it now, we're not going to have another chance. There's not going to be a World War IV, folks. So fund the only war worth funding. Fund the information war now at thealexjonesstore.com. Achieve self-actualization. Keep Alex Jones on the air and defeat evil to save humanity at thealexjonesstore.com. Stay with us for more on the other side of the short break.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. Mm-hmm. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. Mm-hmm. He stated, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control a million people than to physically kill a million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control," end quote.
It was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They said these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
Never sleeps, so neither does he. You're listening to Chase Geyser on Tomorrow's News Tonight.
My name is Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight, and I am going to be taking your calls for the 24 minutes and 12 seconds that we have remaining together. The sooner you call, the more likely I am to get to you. 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. Finally, one more time, 877-789-2539. And I am going to actually run clip 17, CJ. This is the If Hitler Were Alive Today, because I want to wrap up what we were talking about with the Nazi Sweeney, Nick Fuentes stuff in the last segment. This is a comedian coming out and saying if Hitler were alive today, he'd be on Theo Von's podcast. Let's watch.
I think if Hitler were alive today, he'd probably appear on Theo Von's podcast. And Theo would be like, see y'all daisy, dog.
And again, look, they've lost control over the mainstream media. They've lost control with their Mockingbird stuff. And so now what they have to do is alienate, criminalize, and penalize their competition. That's one of the main reasons I think that the mainstream media was so eager to go after Alex Jones is because YouTube was a total existential threat 10 years ago to the existence of the mainstream media. Almost brought it completely down. Now it's completely down for other reasons because of X and Rumble. And YouTube kind of just sold out and bought into the whole censorship industrial complex. But there's a reason that all the mainstream media outlets are so eager to criticize Tesla when so many of their major sponsors are Tesla's competitors. They're so reluctant to criticize Big Pharma when so many of their sponsors are pharmaceutical companies and industry. There's a reason they're so happy to criticize Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones or Theo Vaughn. It's because that's their direct competition. Look, I don't criticize CNN because I see them as competition. I criticize CNN because I see them as an existential threat to my people and my culture and my way of life. To humanity itself, not even just my people, but people in general. And it's proven to be true because of all the lies that they've propelled and talked about that have led to war after war. And big one that comes to mind is the war in Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction and the million people that died in that conflict and the total instability in the region as a result. We showed you Chris Cuomo saying that he was in traffic as the world flies by in all the windows in that video. But I'm going to go to some calls. I want to hear from Steve in Michigan. Steve in Michigan, what do you think, man?
Yes, first time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Okay, I know this is a little off subject, but one thing that we were kind of concerned with up here is our, you know, one of the running things for Donald Trump's campaign was actually that there was going to be no tax on overtime, no tax on tips, and a lot of people bought into that. Now, basically, then when this big, beautiful bill passes, they come back and they kick to us. They say, okay, well, we're going to give you a $12,000 tax relief at the end of the year. Now, basically, that's all it is, a tax break. For most people, it isn't even going to help.
Yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe you just caught me with a curveball, but I'm pretty sure the no tax on tips and the overtime tax was in the big beautiful bill. Am I just totally wrong about that, Steve?
What it is it was in the bill, but what it ended up being by the time that it actually got passed was that they're actually still taking tax from us. They're still taxing all of our overtime. People like me, you know, I work, you know.
Then they're just giving you an estimated tax credit to compensate for that?
You're going to get $12,500 tax credit that's going to actually come off of your earned income at the end of the year. So, I mean, your average person, what are we getting? An extra $100?
So it looks like on average, Americans will receive about $1,300 more from no tax on tips per year. There's no federal income tax withheld on tipped wages, which means more cash in hand. It's tax-free incentives, about 6 million workers who report tipped wages. Industries relying on tips, we know all that. No tax on tips is retroactive, meaning you will get money back for your tipped wages earned in 2025. And about 400,000 veterans work in occupations that often receive tipped wages, so it's going to help veterans too. I think he actually delivered on that promise, Steve, but I understand your reluctance and criticism there because there is a lot of bait and switch that happens with these earmarks. And by the time things go from the House to the Senate, back to the House, and then to the president's desk, they change so many times it's hard to keep up with whatever the hell the law really is.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I'm with you, man. I love you. Thank you for calling. I hope you call in again. Let's go to Tim in Washington State. Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, I'm just kind of curious about Nick Fuentes. Like, why didn't he go to any jail? He put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk. That's one thing. And another thing is that since you guys have been branding yourselves as Team Humanity for so long, Nick Fuentes doesn't really have the humanity that I think that you give him. I mean, number one, I'm pretty sure he's a closet homosexual. He's got no kids. He's got no skin in the game. And, I mean, he takes away everybody else's humanity for engagement and some sort of influence over people that are lacking leadership. And the guy's a bastard. I'm sorry. But you guys are giving him far too much credit. Sure, he's articulate. Sure, he's smart. That's fine. But he's a bigot, right? I'm a right-winger. This dude's a bigot. He doesn't give anybody any humanity whatsoever. And you guys are putting him on Team Humanity. I think it's a big mistake.
You might be right. I don't know if InfoWars gets to say who is or isn't on Team Humanity. You know, Alex is a very kind and generous person, and I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last couple of years I've been working here. And I would say that Alex has a tendency to be very friendly with almost anyone that he meets in person if they're friendly toward him. And it's possible that Nick came in and just, you know, shook his hand and said some nice things and neutralized any antagonism that might have been warded against him. I don't know. I'm not declaring who's on Team Humanity or not. I don't agree with, 25-30% of what Nick Fuentes says. But I'm also not in a position to say that he doesn't have any humanity himself or that he's a bigot. He might toe the line. He might be a bigot. I don't know. But I don't feel comfortable throwing that word around if I don't know it to be true.
He's definitely full of hate, right? He's intelligent, and he's got a good understanding of geopolitics and stuff, but he's just using hate as more of a lens than anything else. And I've been paying attention to every single one of you guys since I got into politics and whatnot, and the only reason why I sided with InfoWars is because they weren't using identity politics. But now it's just this torch that everybody seems to use to guide their way.
Can you be a little bit more specific? I'm not even disagreeing with you. I just want to understand what you're saying. Can you be a little bit more specific and how InfoWars is using identity politics, in your opinion?
I'm not saying InfoWars in general, but I mean, I'm saying that when you're bringing Nick Fuentes, who's literally the torchbearer for identity politics in the right wing, you might as well just have him and Stu Peters on at the same time, man. I mean, it's just the same.
Oh man, we've had Stu Peters used to host the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show.
I know. It's just, but. I mean, everybody that has basically climbed up this ladder of social influence and stuff with identity politics shouldn't be trusted. They should be definitely, you should be skeptical about it, and they're definitely not cultural leaders.
Look, I'm not saying that Nick Fuentes is a good guy. I'm just saying that he shouldn't be censored, and he made a good point about whether or not Tucker should have him on and debate him directly. I mean, wouldn't you watch?
No, I understand that, but, I mean, at a certain point, then you start wondering if this is all Kabuki theater, because you're watching somebody that didn't go to prison for January 6th.
I know. That is alarming. And I'd like to see him specifically answer for that. And I think if Tucker Carlson had him on, he would make Nick specifically answer for that.
Thanks a lot, Chase. I appreciate it.
I love you. See ya. All right. Sean in California. Sean, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase. You're asking about when these people are going to be charged, what have you.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, stuff being served to them. The American Common Law Grand Jury is a body that still exists despite the bar working against it, and they can create a presentment to give to a sheriff in the respective county of the party that needs to be arrested. And I can rant about several different websites that teach about that topic.
I'm sure that you're right, but it's never going to happen.
That's because the sheriffs are federalized. I get that.
Yeah, or they just don't know, or they're too scared, or they don't, you know, it's like not everybody's Columbo. You know, by the way, you know,
the sheriff needs to decide, does his oath to the Constitution mean what it means, or is he going to sell out to the deep state, et cetera? There are some good sheriffs that say they're constitutional out there. Maybe they should really look at what that Constitution means and where they stand with it, given that we've had, surprise folks, 5 different constitutions since the founding of this republic, 1 for every bankruptcy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Amen, yeah, Sean. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that. Tim in California. Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you, Chase. You know, Interstellar Part 2, I called in with this, and it was just first spotted. It's the third only object ever. It's going 37 miles per second, so it's definitely moving along.
What
and
object?
Three Harvard science, Interstellar.
That object that came into our solar system?
Yes, and it's moving at 37 miles per second, which is actually unusually fast. And now 3 Harvard scientists have suggested, hey, this might not just be a rock, it might be a visitor. And, you know, I mentioned movies like Deep Impact and Armageddon, so that those in power may know something they're kind of withholding from us.
You know, the UFO community has been saying for a couple of years, though, sorry to interrupt you, Tim, but you know, the UFO community has been saying for a couple of years that there would very quickly be a claim from the government that a ship was on its way to the Earth and that it would arrive in 2027. I mean, they've been saying that this was going to happen for a couple of years, very publicly.
No, I get that. But my point is, no matter what this extinction-level event is that's coming our way, there's some impending doom that I think somebody got read in on. And I think the proof is when you look on looks on the faces of people like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel. You talk about they look like they're being held hostage. How about if I told them that, hey, something really bad's getting ready to happen and you can't tell anybody, not even your wives, you know? And by the way, you mentioned it could be other things. I'm not trying to be a doomsdayer or whatever, but for instance, Venus, our sister planet, hey, we've since sent up satellites that can look through it, almost all that haze or whatever. They can look through it like a fish finder, and we know the end of their planet wasn't factories or cars. It was basically the same thing that could end our planet. You mentioned it. Volcanoes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not being a doomsayer. It could be anything.
Well, and we did have a volcano that just erupted in Russia for the first time in 600 years. I believe that the government has directed energy weapons that can trigger things like earthquakes, which relate to volcanoes, all over the world. And we've seen countless clips over the course of the last several weeks of all sorts of different kinds of animals walking as far away from Yellowstone as they possibly can.
Well, and that would be enough to ruin your whole afternoon if that sucker let go, right?
Yeah, that is the truth. Let's go to, I'm going to go to Bart in Georgia. Bart, what's on your mind?
Yeah, and we've been talking about hell on earth. Alex Jones was talking about getting black pills. You might as well go to the alexjonesstore.com/bar with a capital B and get this methylene blue. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this is the best product you guys have ever had. It's just absolutely fantastic.
It's insane.
Take me an hour to explain why. Just go and buy it. Awesome. I'm expecting 2 bottles tomorrow in the sale.
Absolutely. I want to tell the audience a little bit about what to experience on Methylene Blue. I know we've talked about it incessantly. We've had basically every guest take it. We've run ad after ad after ad for it. People are reluctant to take it. Listen, talk to your doctor, but as long as you're not on SSRIs, this could be the best thing that you've ever taken. Methylene Blue, let me just describe my first experience. I pour one dropper of Methylene Blue into a glass of ice soda water. And the full dose for the day is 2 droppers. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try it. Drop one. Not expecting anything. A lot of stuff that's good for you, you take it, and it is good for you, but you don't necessarily feel it. You take B12 every single day, you might not necessarily feel it. Maybe if it builds up in your system, you'll start noticing that you have more energy and you're getting sick less often. I understand, but Methylene Blue is one of the few products over-the-counter out there that you will physically feel within 30 minutes, unless you have supernatural mitochondria health. And it's not just the way that your body feels, even though there are sensations, it's the way that your state of mind completely changes. It doesn't make you a different person. You just realize that your thoughts are more organized, that a veil is lifted, that you have clarity of focus, that you have more energy, but you're not jittery, that there's no crash, that you could still go to sleep if you wanted to, but you don't feel like you're falling asleep every single day. I mean, Methylene Blue is something that I will take for the rest of my life. And you can look into all the studies and the conversations from RFK Jr. to Mel Gibson to Chase Hughes. They've done studies on the effects of Methylene Blue where people take it and then they do red light therapy and the benefits are just absolutely astounding. It helps your body absorb more of the oxygen that you breathe in. Literally the stuff that life is made of. Isn't it said in Genesis that God breathed life into Adam? Well, this makes you be able to make the most out of God's breath into you. Methylene Blue. And it's not just the fact that it helps your body absorb oxygen. And we've got athletes that send reviews all the time, text to me directly, direct messages to me directly, talking about, hey, I am at 3,000 feet or however many feet, and I go for runs and bikes every single day, and this Methylene Blue has changed everything. It's not just that, but it helps your cells be more efficient. As I understand it, dropping off extra electrons, empowering the mitochondria. Every single cell in your body has its own battery. Just like your phone has a lithium ion battery or a Tesla has a lithium ion battery. Every cell in your body has its own battery called the mitochondria. And that's what produces the energy for the cell. And Methylene Blue is effective because it empowers, rejuvenates, and protects your mitochondria. So you're absorbing more oxygen. Your mitochondria are totally fired up. Your body is absorbing more energy from the sun itself. It's like super chlorophyll for a human body. And you'll feel better, and you'll feel the hot blood running through your veins, and you'll understand that you're focused, that you have more energy, and you won't be jittery, and there isn't a come down. It's so absolutely incredible that I almost feel like a charlatan pitching it because I understand that it sounds unreal. But you know what else sounded unreal? when Alex Jones predicted that they were going to fly planes into the World Trade Center in 2001, months before it happened. Sounded unreal, and then it happened. Or when he told Joe Rogan that there was a sex island run and operated by Jeffrey Epstein years before it came out. Or when he predicted that the vaccines were neither safe nor effective. Or when he told everyone that Russia was going to get invaded. Or when he predicted a month before it happened that Tucker Carlson was going to get fired. Nobody could believe it because it just didn't make any sense. But that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. That's the difference between seeing and perceiving. And I'm telling you now, just as Alex is right about everything else that sounded unbelievable, that methylene blue will be one of the best decisions that you ever make, if you get it. And look, our whole purpose on this earth is to honor God. We are his creation. And so what better way to honor him than becoming the best versions of ourselves? It's called self-actualization, when you actually become all you can potentially become. And our bodily health is part of that. Our intellectual health, our mind health is part of that. And then the good that we do in the world is part of that. And so by going to thealexjonesstore.com right now and getting methylene blue, you're fighting for your body and your mind and for humanity at the same time. You're doing what God calls all of us to do. Keep us on the air. Go now. Thank you so much, Bart, for those nice things that you said. Gene in Georgia, what's on your mind?
Hello, brother.
Hey, brother.
I'm just, you know.
Hey, brother.
Methylene blue's great, but I'm just an old man. I'm just one crying in the wilderness here. Politics is one thing. You know, the government is what they are. There is evil in the world, and we are fighting them. I guess the main thing is, I just want to tell the listeners, if you could pray for the children, the missing children, the thousands and thousands of children. If we could do that, I think God would bless this country again. I don't know. You tell me. What do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that we should pray for the children. And I do think that governments will always be the way governments are, and there will always be good and evil. But just because there will always be evil doesn't mean that we should give up keeping it at bay. And look, I know you're not. I'm not accusing you of that.
Billions of dollars of the countries. We get billions of dollars. Countries. And I don't know about any government. I mean, this country's the richest in the world. So we're not made something that can go find these missing children.
It's disgusting.
That are being sex slaves?
Yep. Disgusting.
Please explain that.
Yeah, I don't have an explanation for you other than the fact that all the entities responsible for justice are wrapped up in the corruption that we're asking them to seek justice. It's funny because I got swatted a few months ago, and obviously we'd been reporting for several months that the FBI has been spying on InfoWars since December 10th, 2013 under what's called a Type 3 assessment. We did a Freedom of Information Act request. They admitted that they've been doing a human intelligence gathering operation on InfoWars since December of 2013, spying on all of our crew, our hosts, our financial transactions, just collecting information on us for 12 years. And it's still going on as long as I know. Then I get swatted, I get assigned an FBI agent to my case, and I have to convince or provide information to an FBI agent to find the culprit who swatted my family and others at InfoWars, Owen Schroyer and others whom I won't name. I have to ask for justice from the same organization that's violating my rights. So we're asking for the people who are trafficking these children to find these children. It's obviously a conflict of interest. It's like asking Shell Oil to convert all of its operations and its employees' electronics to battery operated. It's a total conflict of interest. They would never do that whatsoever. So to me, the only solution is to first make everyone aware of this problem. And then once everyone is aware, then apply the political pressure. And that's why I work here at InfoWars, because our job is to make everyone understand the truth, aware of the truth. Our job is to perpetuate and scale and catalyze the Great Awakening. Because once everybody realizes that the IRS and the CIA and the FBI and the NSA are no good, once everybody realizes that the DNC and the RNC are the same villain with two different faces, no good, then we will have the political will to apply pressure. But in the meantime, we have to fight for our rights as long as we can, fight for freedom of speech for as long as we can, to ensure that we have enough time to reach critical mass of support to then be in a position to apply the political force necessary to reverse this level of corruption. And look, folks, throughout history, we've never seen any civilization reach this level of corruption and peacefully reverse it. It just doesn't happen. And we'll have good kings and bad kings, good presidents and bad presidents, good dictators and bad dictators for the years to come. And I hope that it doesn't turn to bloodshed. I don't advocate for bloodshed. I'm trying to prevent bloodshed. This network's the only network I can think of that's been against virtually every war that we've been in since World War II. We're a pacifist network, even though they call us hate speech and debank us and censor us on every single platform and then villainize us using the Mockingbird techniques. We're a pacifist organization that advocates for individual rights while they claim we're a hate group, a white, racially motivated organization, in the words of the FBI themselves on the documents that we got in the FOIA. That's what they say about us. But we're the only network fighting for minorities because we're the only network that fights for the individual, and the individual is the greatest minority of all. And you neither gain or lose rights by joining a group. There's no such thing as black rights or women's rights or men's rights or whites' rights. There's only individual rights. We are given our rights as individuals at birth by our creator. And this network fights for those individual rights while every special interest entity, corporate or governmental, seeks to erode those rights as much as possible for the sake of conglomerating all political power into one new world order government, one world nation owned, where you will own nothing and be very, very unhappy. And right now, we are funding billions and billions and billions of dollars into a system, a machine that does not seek to fight for our interests or our rights, but to perpetuate and expand its own power, and it morally justifies that by saying it wants to fight for our rights and our interests. They even believe it, but denial isn't just a river in Egypt, folks. We're pumping money into a corrupt system, and we're empowering it not just with the money and the spending that they get, but they are about ready to make the most effective technology in the history of the information war, which goes all the way back to the lie the snake told in the Garden of Eden. It's the one war that is continuously, perpetually ongoing. Truth versus lie, the information war, knowledge, wisdom, foolishness, ignorance, all variables playing in. Every story in the Bible is about what's true and what isn't. Who's the real God? Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. It's all about truth versus the lie. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So we can't give up. Even when all seems hopeless on the information war, we have to go to the alexjonesstore.com and show support in any way that we possibly can. If you're sick of your vote not being enough, then declare yourself a voice and show the New World Order what matters to you at the alexjonesstore.com.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to the alexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back and then some simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check if there's interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com, and the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like it's I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.